You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Good afternoon and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Friday afternoon edition of the show. We are live today at National Law Rex, 11134 Kingston Pike in Farragut, right next to Wendy's. Great to be back out here, as it can mean only one thing. The weekend is here, finally, folks. Let's get it kicked off here.
The weeks just fly by, Russ.
I know, man. I know. Less than 4 weeks away from kickoff.
I'm starting to get antsy.
Did you watch the NFL Hall of Fame game last night?
No. No, I did not. I forgot about it. And then me and Junior are trying to finish Breaking Bad before he goes back to school.
I did not forget about it. I knew it was on and did not watch it anyway.
I saw like two plays. I did remember and I flipped it over, and it took like three plays. I did see the sack. Is it Trayvon Walker?
Yep, number one overall pick. A guy that didn't play much for Georgia last year. The number one overall pick.
Saw his big sack, and then a couple plays later, I remembered why I don't watch the Hall of Fame game. Because it's like watching a scrimmage. It's kind of boring.
Hey, best thing the NFL has done in the last 10 years was getting rid of one preseason game and just going to
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could go ahead and get rid of one more. They could get rid of all of them, really, for all I care. I mean, you don't have preseason games in college, in high school.
Yeah, but you do have spring training games in baseball. I guess that's the only other sport with like a formal preseason like that. NBA doesn't do it, do they?
Well, they've got some exhibition games.
I guess Premier League does friendlies and stuff. So
Premier League kicks off today. How about that? Tomorrow, full slate of games.
Yeah, I forgot. I saw we're watching Cubs Marlins back here in the station, but I almost put it on. It was FC Bayern. Is that how you say it?
Bayern Munich, yeah. Bundesliga action going on right now as well. Saw a highlight from that come across my screen where they set smoke bombs off. You couldn't even see the field. Oh, that's good sport. That's what people want to hear us talk about here this afternoon on Fan Run Radio. Yeah, I passed on the Hall of Fame game as well last night. It's just exhibition football, man. Doesn't really do it for me. I did watch my Braves. I don't know what to make of it. I don't think the Braves are going to catch the Mets this year. I think the Braves are going to make a wild card. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know what happens after that. The Mets are really good.
What about my boy, His Honor, the judge? Is he going to make a run at Bonds record?
I mean, he is making I don't know. I don't know. What is the pace that he's on right now? I mean, he's making run at Maris's record, which is the one I still, in my mind, matters.
He's on pace to hit 66, which would
– what did Bonds have, 73?
72, I think.
I don't think he's going to get that. But, I could see him hitting 65, 66 dingers this year if he stays healthy. I mean, the guy's on a tear.
Well, he hasn't missed – he misses every – I think it's almost 26 games he'll miss a game. So, he hasn't missed – he's missed very few games this year. That helps.
Wide open this first hour here. Trey Wallace had to beg out today. So I guess we'll just talk quietly amongst ourselves here on Fan Run. We do have Lucas Widespread Panzeca set to join in hour number two. That's always fun. Coming up in hour number three, Bear, the What You Talking About Champions League draw.
The Nasty Nine.
This might be the thing I'm actually most excited about. So the Council of Elders late last night did issue a ruling. Three-time champion, Matty Ice, has been granted a champions waiver into Champions League. Even though he has not competed yet this year, he will be one of the Nasty Nine.
Yeah.
Competition will begin on Monday, and the championship will be on Thursday next week.
Yes.
Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff, if I do say so myself. So that, I mean, that might be what I'm looking forward to most on the show today, Bear, is the Champions League draw. Now, how does the Champions League draw work, you may ask? Well, and this is pivotal. It's critical, as Butch Jones would say. Bear, it's a blind draw. All nine contestants will have their name in a hat. And the drawing, I'm, against my better judgment, putting a little faith and trust in you. Actually, I'm putting a lot of faith and trust in young Marcus Young.
I mean,
Marcus, I don't know how Bear can exert his influence on what should be a random drawing, but I'm counting on you to make sure it is indeed random and that no funny games, shenanigans, or foolishness.
He'll do what he's told, Russ. I'm the captain now.
I want this recorded on video.
I can do that.
I'm going through my notes now.
A video recording for so nobody can go back and say, I mean, we've made it so far. We've made it all the way through the regular season without any massive controversy, without any even minor controversy, really. And to have it all go up in smoke just because I entrusted Bear with a simple blind draw would be, that would ruin my weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it'd be hysterical, but I'm going to try.
I don't want to ruin my weekend. So, Marcus, this is a lot on you, bud.
I accept this pressure and honor, and I will fight forward headstrong for the drive.
So, we're going to go open lines this first hour. If you want to jump in, feel free to take a shot right now. 865-546-8200 is our phone number. As always, you're a first-time caller, and we encourage first-time callers. Would love to hear from some new folks as we get set to begin a new football season here on The Drive. 865-546-8200. Just tell Bear and Marcus, hey, first-timer, you will move to the front of the line as we get down to it here this afternoon. We're going to throw a couple of questions at you to kickstart the conversation today, as the Volunteers have the day off today. First day after four practices. Tennessee, no practice today. They'll be back at it tomorrow and Sunday. Pads going on this weekend. First major scrimmage of the preseason is on Tuesday next week, which is going to be a monumental day for the development of this year's team. Let's pick up on Marcus's question from yesterday, because we never really unpacked this, but it is a good question. In the transfer portal era, who is your impact transfer of the year for Tennessee coming into the season? And I think you can make an argument for just about any one of these guys. Brew McCoy, I think, big argument to be made there. Gerald Mincy, I think, is interesting. If he wins that left tackle job and is good, then I would say that he might get my vote. Then on the defensive side of the ball, Turntine, Wesley Walker in that secondary. And who am I forgetting? Well, there's one more grad transfer. We listed five yesterday, Marcus. Who's the one I'm leaving out?
We got who do we have now? Lin Jay, Turntine.
Lin Jay Dixon. Oh, see, he's only been here a day. I've already forgotten him.
Lin Jay Dixon.
And he could be the guy.
Yeah, he very well could. Turrentine.
Wesley Walker, Brew McCoy, Gerald.
Mincy,
thank you.
I mean, the three that stand out to me right off the bat are Mincy, Turrentine, and Lin Jay. I mean, you got one that you're hoping is going to be your left tackle. Definitely need help in the secondary, looking to turn time to provide that. And we've got a really thin running back room with, you know, two incredibly talented freshmen coming in, but we still don't know what we got until, you know, the lights come on and it's game time in Neyland Stadium. Linjay's been there before, you know?
He has. He's experienced. I'm sticking until proven wrong with Brew McCoy. And here's why. Tennessee needs more playmakers out there. And do your research into this young man if you haven't already. He was the number 9 high school player in the country, according to 247, in the class of 2019. The 9th best recruit in the country, 5-star player. He commits to Southern Cal to play for Cliff Kingsbury, right, who is the offensive coordinator under Clay Helton at that time. He's a midterm enrollee. He gets there in January of 2019. Kingsbury bolts like 2 days after he gets there. So he's thinking, hey, this is the guy that recruited me. This is the system. I was coming here to play in the air raid. This is not what I signed up for. So after 17 days on campus, granted, perhaps a rash decision, he was a senior in high school at the time, for all intents and purposes, who had enrolled earlier. So 17 days, he transfers to Texas and goes through spring training with the Longhorns. After that, he decides, you know what? I acted rashly. I don't want to be here in Texas. He's from Southern California. I want to go back to USC. So he was at USC, Texas, and back to USC before his freshman season even began. So he gets back to USC. 5-star prospect, still a lot of hype there, guys. Misses several months of the 2019 season, his true freshman season, for symptoms that were never diagnosed, a mysterious illness or injury, we don't know. Takes a red shirt for the 2019 season. Of course, we all know what happened in 2020, the COVID year. He plays that season, catches 21 passes for 236 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I think they played 8 or 9 games that year. And you go back, his biggest game was against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. He had like 6 catches and a couple of touchdowns. So you're thinking, okay, there's the 5-star. That's the guy they signed. That's the guy they thought they were getting. Redshirt freshman season. Has a pretty good year under the bizarre 2020 COVID circumstances. Primed for a breakout season in 2021, last season, right?
Yes.
Well, July, arrested for alleged domestic violence, suspended indefinitely from the football team. Not a lot of information is out there as far as what the allegations were. All we know is he didn't play at USC last season, and the charges were dropped for a lack of evidence.
I thought it was the girlfriend refused to cooperate.
According to Wikipedia, charges dropped for lack of evidence. So after all that, he decides to transfer, and he's coming to Tennessee. Apparently, he had some sort of minor operation on his hip this offseason. He's been running third team the first week or so. This guy needs to get going, Bear. I mean, he's a 5-star talent. He is a huge player, 6'2" and 220 pounds. Great athleticism coming out of high school. And as we've mentioned several times, where's number 15? The next wide receiver we have that wears number 15 that isn't awesome is going to be the first.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big shoes to fill. Back to that hip, that's the first I've heard of that. And I've never heard of a minor procedure involving a hip.
That's a good point. I don't know. They say it's – I mean, he's out there practicing, and he looks fine to me off the videos I've seen. But,
yeah, I mean –
there's a reason he's third string right now.
I think it's a combination of his minor hip procedure and the fact that apparently USC is dragging their feet on some. They don't want that smoke from us, Russ. They don't want to start up something.
Well, yeah, then you've got the whole eligibility issue, which, you know, they say you hear, they say a lot of things, don't they? Mm-hmm. You hear, oh, it's going to happen. Things are looking good. this happens every year, Bear. There's one guy that we're waiting. Last year was Byron Young. The year before that, it was Cade Mays. The year before that, it was Aubrey Solomon. Every year this happens to some poor kid, and he usually ends up missing a game or two and hinders his development, and he doesn't hit his stride until midway through the season. Let's hope the NCAA, for once in its the short time it has left, does the right thing and just rubber stamps this guy and lets him go play football. But until that happens, I'm kind of pessimistic about it, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So Brew McCoy is still my guy for the transfers. Now, I hope all those dudes ball out. I hope they all have huge impacts. But if I have to pick one, I'm going with McCoy.
You're going with McCoy?
Yes, that's what we've been talking about the past 5 minutes.
I wouldn't go with McCoy. I know what we've been talking about for the past 5 minutes. This guy, they can't even give him first-team reps right now, Russ, because they don't know if he's going to be eligible to play. That's where the real damage is happening. I mean, I'm fairly certain he'll probably get eligible, but there's no guarantee, so you can't – you have to get somebody ready, and you can't with a guy that you're not certain is going to be able to start that first night.
Well, here's the thing. Ramel Keaton is the guy getting the first team reps at that spot that Javonte Payton played at last year. And I don't want to rip on Keaton. Like, he's
please,
been here for a while.
Please don't.
He's played ball. But we all saw the drop off last year when Javonte Payton went out in that Georgia game, right?
Yeah, but it's a year later and the kid may be ready to have his breakout year, Russell.
You Ramel generally
Keaton,
don't
get former pick to click, Bear pick to click.
Well, I hope they all click, but guys generally don't get faster in college. I think McCoy's got the speed, the athleticism you're looking for. That's my guy. All right, so you're going with the running back. You're going with Lynn Jay.
Yeah. Is that what you said, Marcus?
He's talking to you.
Oh, he said Marcus. No, I'm going with Mincy.
Mincy's a good one. That was one that I was torn between. But I'm actually going to go with our backfield. And specifically, I'm going to go with Wesley Walker. He's going to be a redshirted junior this year. He's had some experience at Georgia Tech with 13 starts out of 23 games. Still seeking his first interception, and I'm glad it's going to be with a big old T on his helmet. I think having that experience in the backfield is going to be really good for this defense. Definitely need help in the secondary. Get a little bit better in our pass defense. So I like Walker. Andre Turrentine is a guy that I'm really excited about because he's young. Obviously, taking him away from Ohio State, like I mentioned yesterday, you know, raid the cupboard from these big boys. Like, if they've got guys who are going to be deep on the depth chart, who want an opportunity to play somewhere, Ohio State knows how to turn out those corners and those DBs, so I'm happy to take anyone from their roster if possible. But between the two of them, with the experience that Walker has at Georgia Tech, I'm excited to see what he can do here for us. And I think he, like you said, obviously we want every one of them to make a difference, but I think he might be my pick out of the transfer.
Russ,
transfer five.
Did you happen to see what number young Wesley Walker is wearing?
And I've been working really hard trying to memorize the numbers this week.
Pretty big shoes to fill for a defensive back.
Oh, he's 13.
Yeah.
Lucky number 13. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you got McCoy wearing the 15, Walker wearing the 13.
Big shoes to fill all around.
It's got a weigh on you, man. Knowing you got to live up to that.
Do you think Wesley Walker knows who Terry Fair is?
Maybe, because Terry was a coach for so long.
You might have recruited him a little bit at Innsworth back in the day?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Do we think Brew McCoy knows who Juwan Jennings and Carl Pickens are?
I don't think he knows who Carl Pickens and Kelly Washington, the other star 15 wide receiver are, but he might know who Jennings is if he watches the NFL.
And picks a damn Hall of Famer.
But he played – when was his last game?
Maybe 30 years ago. 30-31, somewhere in there. My math's correct.
So that's our first question of the day here in hour number one. Who is your impact transfer of the season for Tennessee? The second question I want to get into this afternoon, gentlemen, is this. Who is Tennessee's biggest competition for second place in the East? I know this is going to hurt your feelings, Bear, but here in Realityville, we're seeding the East to Georgia again this year. They're the best team in the division, if not the conference, if not the country. Who worries you most? Who worries you most in the East right now besides Georgia?
Florida. If you're a Tennessee fan, you say anybody else, you're an idiot.
Florida. Kentucky was picked to finish second in the East, though.
Kentucky's beat us four times in 40 years, okay? We have gone down to Florida. They've come up here. We've had far superior talent in coaching. And it's a tradition like no other. We'll pull out a 357 Magnum and just blow a hole through our foot. It's Florida.
Okay, so here's the thing. I do agree with you because I think those of us who watched this series for the past 30 years since they started playing it every year in 1990 probably feel the same way. I am wondering about the younger set, the Marcus Youngs and younger out there in our audience this afternoon, what they think about it. And, you know, South Carolina could be thrown into this conversation too. I mean, people have this hype against or for Shane Beamer, and they've got
the Rattler kid.
They've got Rattler. They got the Rattler, the Rattlesnake, back there at quarterback now, and had a pretty strong finish to last season.
He thinks he got frustrated in the Big 12. Welcome to the SEC.
But just to be clear, you don't have any – it's not that anything specific about Florida –
it's just their Florida.
Anthony Richard, it's just that they're Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, since I was a teenager, they've deviled us. We really didn't play a whole lot when I was younger than that. We've dominated Kentucky my entire life. I'm not saying that they couldn't beat us. I guess they could. They're good for about once every 10 years, but South Carolina – the only time they've really gotten up on us was when we really took a step back. That, and we stubbed our toe down there a few times. But
yeah, you know, the game is down there towards the end of the season. It's going to be cold. You know, who has the momentum at that point? Who's healthy? Who's the healthier team? Is that stadium rocking because they're all excited about the season, or have they lost a couple of games and there's, you know, not much of a vibe there? Are Tennessee fans traveling? There's so many different factors that could influence that particular game, it's just a strange year in the East this year. You've got Georgia head and shoulders above everybody else, and then all three of those fan bases, Kentucky, all four of them, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Florida, could make the argument that they're going to be the second best team in that division, and I think they all have legitimate points and arguments to make. All right,
some
so your
so
two questions this afternoon. Impact transfer of the season for the Vols, and who scares you the most in the East besides Georgia? 865-546-8200, your number to get on Fan Run Radio with us this afternoon, 546-8200. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back with your phone calls after the break. Stay with us. The drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio. The drive continues on a Friday afternoon, live this afternoon at National Law Rex in Farragut. Always good to be back out here. Fellas, they still got the 50 cent Sildenafil special going on, the generic form of Viagra. You need a little lift. This is how you do it, folks. 50 cents per tablet. You can transfer your existing prescriptions right here. They'll take care of you. It is discreet. Just go online, find that phone number at nationalrx.com. Call them up and ask for the Drive discount. Say, hey, I've been listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. I want to hook it up on this sildenafil thing. They will make it happen for you right here at National Rx, Farragut's neighborhood, locally owned and operated, veteran-owned and operated pharmacy in the heart of Farragut, where we have dodged, well, we had a storm earlier when I first got here. I got to run out of Jet's Pizza with the piping hot pizzas in my arm and the downpour. Bear almost slipped. Would have been pizza everywhere. Would have been bad news. I might have had to go to the hospital. I don't know. But just sheer, I used my sheer athleticism.
Would have been absolutely hysterical.
Oh!
Dude, do the noise for me.
Was able to keep my footing somehow and bring it here. And I'm not going to lie. I've had three pieces. It was great.
Oh.
I'll tell you what happened to me before the show when it came to the rain. I let my two dogs out to go use the restroom before I left. So as I was getting ready, they come back running in drenched, and I had no idea it was raining out until after they came back in.
Mm,
so that was fun cleaning up the mud before I came to the show.
That's a pretty good excuse on why you're late. If you're letting your dogs outside, is that really letting them go to the restroom? I don't think there's a restroom in your backyard.
That was a very polite way of saying that. I noticed that too, Bear.
Yeah, you let your dogs out.
Well, I let them out so they can go run around. They use the restroom while they're out there. They go play for a bit.
They don't use the restroom.
They don't do it in the house.
They poo. I think they want you to be more graphic and descriptive.
I'm on radio, Bear.
Let them out to do their business. There's no restroom in your backyard, bro. Just saying. Keep it accurate.
If your dog, all of the outdoors are a restroom. Who let the dogs out?
Who?
Marcus. That's who.
Oh, yes.
Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. 546-8200 as we pass the bottom of your 3 p.m. hour Friday afternoon live today at National RX. And Phil is next. Hello, Phil.
What are you saying, David?
What's up, Philly?
How you, Bear Broughton, D. Marcus doing?
Phil, it's the weekend. We've made it. Football's back. We got football every week through the middle of February. Let that sink in for just a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be nice to watch football. I agree with you. It's a nice sport to watch. It really is.
It makes the world go round, Phil. It really does.
We'll be better than mediocre.
Well, we got about 4 weeks to find out. What do you define mediocre? Is 8-4 mediocre?
No, but 6-6 and 7-5 is mediocre.
7-5 is mediocre. How would you define mediocrity this year for the Vols, Bear?
Probably 7-5 or 8-4.
8-4 feels kind of mediocre. We shouldn't say that. I mean, with Tennessee fans not in any position to turn our noses up at 8-4, right?
No, but it's one game better than last year. On a year where we, honestly, looking back on it, we pissed away two games.
Yeah, we did. You're right.
Or one definitely.
We pissed away three games.
I mean, definitely the Pitt game. Ole Miss was kind of a monster all its own between – you know, faint gate and, you know, the shenanigans Lane Train was up to. But still, I mean, we should have beat that team.
Yeah, Perdon was another game.
I don't even count that one. These guys.
You don't count it, why not?
Because it's not like it used to be, man. I mean, that's the bowl games now, Phil, are just strictly, unless you're in that playoff, they're just glorified scrimmages, man.
I'll say this, if we'd won that bowl game, there'd be more hype for the season, and we'd be a preseason top 20 team.
You might be right. I'm not really concerned with the preseason hype from the prognosticators and stuff. I think those of us who follow it closely, Phil, know that Tennessee has a chance to have a really nice team this year. You know, some things have to happen. They need to get McCoy eligible. They need to decide on a left tackle. Need to stay healthy, obviously, but the way the schedule sets up, Florida at home early, the off week being where it is, I mean, that you get by that Pitt game and you're going to have a chance to establish some early season momentum. And I'm more concerned about the in-season hype than the preseason hype. The in-season hype would be nice.
Yeah. So your question is, which transfer is going to be need to be the biggest impact? Or you think will be the biggest impact?
Well, yeah, go ahead and answer that both ways, because those could be different answers, right?
Yeah, they could. If you really look at it, I really think for the best for our team, it'd be one of those guys we signed in the secondary need to come through, because all honesty, our secondary is atrocious.
When we saw it last, it certainly was. There's no doubt about that. I just watching some of the practice clips and stuff they put online, I mean, Turrentine and Walker look like SEC-level defensive backs. I feel, you know, Haddon, they need to get him back healthy. But, yeah, they've got some much better options and depth back there this season. So, nowhere to go but up, Phil.
Yeah, Burrell and McCullough, I'm not too high on them. You know, if you want a first down, just know where they're at.
I'm not ready to, you know, McCullough to me is kind of a finished product. He is what he is. He's a guy that when you're playing the teams that aren't Georgia and Alabama and maybe Florida, he's going to be perfectly, you know, he'll be effective. But you're playing teams with NFL athletes on the outside, I don't think he's going to cut it. I'm not ready to close the book on Burrell just because I know Terry Fair is really high on him and thinks he's got a world of potential. So I'm going to hope he has a bounce back.
Oh, Curry's right.
It's probably time for him to show it, though.
Well, I mean, look at the guy that was that we lost out of the secondary. I mean, both those guys were just playing average players and they got drafted in there last year.
I think Alante was pretty good. I think it's but when you only have one guy in your secondary, it's kind of like you said, they're just going to target the other guy. Like they're not going to go to him very much.
And have all day to throw, and then, you know. But you're right about Drew McCoy. He is an intriguing talent. I mean, he's got the talent of a Pickens or a Kelly Washington, but is he going to be a problem off the field here like he was in California? I mean, we don't know. Hopefully he'll keep his head straight. And hopefully we can get him on the field if he's that good.
I already
heard somebody say Jimmy Holiday's looking good. He hadn't done that in 2 years.
No, he's kind of a just special team stalwart, isn't he, Phil?
Yeah, but they were raving about in practice yesterday. Is that just one good practice, or is he going to be able to contribute wide receiver? Of course, they got a lot of wide receivers over there.
They're not hurting for depth anymore. I mean, that's you got to have options over there. And I don't think – I'm skeptical when they say, oh, you know, we want to rotate guys. I mean, they played basically the same three receivers the entire season after Florida last year. So I kind of look for them to do that again. But it would be nice to have options in the pipeline, especially for, you know, looking ahead towards next year.
And you were talking about the left tackle position. I agree with Barry about Mincy and the other cat that's out there. But we cannot afford to have our center to get hurt and miss about half the season like he did last year.
Oh.
Now, Cooper Mays is a good center when he's healthy, but when he's beat up and not on the field, you saw how bad that offensive line was. I mean, it was pretty much an open book getting in on the hooker.
We've
talked about it, you know.
Don't want to speak it into existence.
Yeah.
He's got to stay healthy. Phil's right.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely does. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, he's in the conversation with the question with, you know, Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, Cooper Mays, you know.
Have you heard a rumor about Lane Kiffin is already sniffing around Catholic looking at quarterback down there?
I have not heard that, Phil.
Well,
it's not surprising.
No. No, it's not. Kind of cool, you know. But yeah. I guess but you go down there and look too, you know. We don't want Kevin to steal something from us in Knoxville, do we?
That would be embarrassing.
And you know, if Kevin's after somebody, they can halfway play.
Who's this now? A Catholic?
I don't know the kid's name, but I think he's a freshman to be. Cherry's his last name.
Kiffin's doing that thing where he's hanging out in middle school hallways again, offering 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let Bear's our Catholic expert. Let him get on. See you.
I mean, Phil. When is Kiffin going to show up in one of those Chris Hansen videos and have a seat right over there?
Seat.
You're.
I have a seat over there, Lane. We just have a
few questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead. Have one of the cookies.
What did you 865-546-8200.
Yes, Marcus.
I was just saying, Lane, what did you expect to happen when you came here?
Expected to sign a, 6'3", 220-pound, 14-year-old quarterback phenom. That would be pretty funny, though. Lane Kiffin.
Bill on Twitter says, longtime UT insiders that I trust are making comparisons athletically between McCoy and Kelly Washington. I'm telling you, that's who he looks like. Can you imagine the kind of numbers Kelly Washington would have put up in this offense, Bear?
Did we talk about that while Russell was gone? Didn't we break that down? Like what former Vols you'd love to see in Heupel's offense?
He put up video game numbers in Randy Sanders' offense. I mean, he still holds the single game record, I believe, 257 yards receiving against LSU in 2001 at Neyland Stadium. I mean, if he was in an offense like this, it'd be unstoppable. And I think there's something to that. I mean, athletically, we're not going to say production-wise yet because we don't know, A, his eligibility status, B, what his health status is, how good a shape he is in, and all that stuff. But I think he has that kind of potential.
Yeah, the two names that jump out to me, guys that I'd love to see in a Heupel offense like that would be probably Charlie Garner and Alvin Kamara.
Mm. Oh. Now, the other thing you got to remember about Washington and McCoy, this is his fourth year of college ball as well. Fourth year being in college anyway. But Kelly Washington, when he came, he was like 21 years old, I want to say. He had played minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And walked on. I remember the Mike Griffith story, and he was talking about this walk-on in the News Sentinel. Like, Kelly Washington, he's going to walk on. It's like, why are we even talking about this guy? Like, nobody's heard of him. He wasn't recruited out of high school. Nobody really knows much about him as a baseball prospect. And darned if he wasn't one of the best wide receivers in the wide receiver U era.
He 100% was. Yeah, it's weird that as immature as he acted, he was older.
Yeah.
At times. So
he wasn't. I don't know that he was immature. Like, he didn't get any trouble off the field, but just the ultimate diva. Like, he had the most diva wide receiver Tennessee's ever had, and that's saying something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, T.O. thought he was too much of a diva. Ocho Cinco as well.
Do you remember that ESPN College Game Day segment where he's showed up?
Sunglasses?
He was wearing, boxer briefs. They did, a video shoot of him. He's wearing boxer briefs, and he's, all baby oiled up and glistening.
No, I don't remember that, man. For real?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was
cringy.
Kind of soft core.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Our buddy Benny says Carl Pickens in the Heupel offense would be incredible. Ooh. Talk about a home run threat. You want to take the top off of defense?
Imagine Heath Shuler pulling the trigger in this thing.
Oh. Imagine Josh Dobbs getting developed. An athlete of his stature? What if you paired that 98, pick a year from 92 to 98, one of those defenses with this offense? We'd never get beat.
Wagermeister is mad at me. He says he did West High Rebel, did Cottrell score in that game last night?
He must have. I saw that tweet as well. It just reinforces. I sat, I believe it was in this chair, and said, I really think they ought to offer that kid from West.
Did
because I'd seen him play that year, watched him outrun 21 other people.
Any Catholic player score a touchdown in the NFL yesterday, Bear?
No, I don't think any of the guys were playing
That's
yesterday.
I can't relate.
Yeah. Who's more likely to score a touchdown in the regular season? Amari Rodgers, Harrison Smith, or Cottrell?
I don't know. All I know is there's only one guy of those three players you just mentioned that has a touchdown this year.
It's a Hall of Fame game. They do let everybody play. Why you got to go down this road? I was being nice. It was a pick to click back in the day. I wanted Butch to sign him. Now you got to make me go hard at the guy.
You know, I'd forgotten we've got another Rebel on the roster this year.
Oh, that's right.
The kid who was, I'm blanking. He was committed to Michigan State last year and then tore up his knee, and they rescinded his offer. I don't know that for a fact. That's just what I'm telling myself to.
Oh, sure. It's a rumor we're starting. That's fine. That kid's good.
I mean, he's a West High Rebel, of course. I mean, he's cut from a different cloth.
Well, he didn't lose him to Maryville. That was
Blair. I want to say his name is Blair. Does that sound right?
You're asking me? I've got no clue, man.
Shannon Blair. Number 42 in your program, number one in your heart. He's coming off ACL, so we'll see how that works out. But yeah, those walk-ons, man, they got him as a walk-on. It's a guy who had a Michigan State offer. They got the Browder kid from Kingsport as a walk-on, preferred walk-on. He comes from UCF. I mean, that kid's going to play football here, I think, if not this year, next year. And Navy Shuler, Jackson Hanna from the Mid-State, who played at Nebraska. They were very shrewd getting in that portal and getting guys to come in here and walk on.
Do you think they massaged NIL to make that happen?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
because that was one of the things we've talked. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. Everything runs together between the show, several group texts, and Twitter. But who was going to be the university that weaponized the preferred walk-on, combining that with NIL for basically pseudo-scholarships?
Well, did it BYU have one booster who said he was going to pay full tuition for all the walk-ons, essentially rendering the idea of scholarships for BYU moot?
Yes, I believe you're right. Welcome to the good times, baby.
Quick timeout. The drive continues on Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on board with us. Would love to hear from you this afternoon. Take a shot, 546-8200. Back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, live today at National RX. Want to give a special shout-out to Matlock Tire. You've heard the ad playing this week. Good to have Matlock back in the Fan Run fold. East Tennessee's number one tire service and auto repair shop since 1953. 69 nice years in business with Matlock. I got a new set of tires for my car from them back in June, and they hooked me up with a great deal, great brand, and really happy. You're going to be happy too. Locally owned and operated again since 1953. It's unbelievable. Matlock Tire, great family owned and operated business. Shout out to Joe and Jimmy and everybody else up here the street at the Farragut location. They've also got spots in Maryville, Lenore City, Athens, and Hardin Valley. I call it the new spot, but they've been open for 2 or 3 years out there now. So you can schedule your service today online, matlocktireservice.com. matlocktireservice.com, modern convenience, hometown service, Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tim, who's up next. Good afternoon, Tim. You're on the drive.
Hey, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to kind of chime in on the NIL that you were talking about, BYU kind of buying scholarships. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Nick Saban's, Lane Kiffin, Kirby Smart have been out there kind of condemning NIL or having their own takes on it, right? My thing, like having worked in college sports at a little bit lower level, right, is that coaches get kind of evaluated on their booster contributions to the program. And now that this money's kind of going, still being contributed, but in a different way, I think there's a little bit of hesitation on the coaches as to how they are going to be evaluated. Because, you know, they get those big contracts based on obviously wins and losses, but how much they contribute financially to the program. And if it's hard to put it on the balance sheet, I think that's kind of why, like, Elaine Kiffin, who doesn't, if the boosters aren't contributing, it's hard to kind of see his value or at least justify his contract. Nick Saban, maybe a little bit lesser, but same type of thing. So just calling to kind of get your insight or get your take on that. Like, I think that boosters are contributing, right? But it just looks different financially.
Well, this might be a little bit of a cynical take, but I think the reason that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart were slow to jump on board is because, you know, their boosters have been contributing, buying players for years, and they just get away with it. And now all of a sudden, other schools are going to start doing what they've been doing all along. And it's just upsetting the apple cart. I actually think the athletics directors are probably more threatened by it than the coaches, because I think a good coach, a smart coach, realizes that, hey, even if these boosters are rescinding some of the donations that used to go to the athletics department to build locker rooms and stadiums and practice facilities and whatnot, if they're investing that money in NIL, that gets me players, and if I get players, I can win, and I'm going to get that big contract anyway. I think it's the athletics directors who, they have more skin in the game, just as far as, like, that's their lifeblood, right? No, of those donations.
Yeah, I mean, I think short-term it's good for everybody, but I think long-term, kind of like you're saying, like, the athletic directors are looking at it like, well, how are we going to build, how are we going to continue to fund what we've been, I don't know. That's kind of my take on it. I think that's why maybe the coaches don't feel bad about it, but the ADs are pushing them maybe to speak out. I don't know. But that's kind of been my thinking as to why, like, coaches are speaking out kind of against NIL. So I don't know. I think at Tennessee it's a good thing because we need to get the players now to build up. And then, but the teams that are established and are out there, like you said, they've kind of been doing it one way, and that way is kind of being threatened. So it kind of benefits the teams like us who are on that second tier that need to build up.
Oh, hey, man, if I were Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, I wouldn't want to change either. Like, the last game was fine. Sure. Like, let's keep this going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got, guys. Thanks. Have a great day. Appreciate
great
your time.
Great call, Tim. First time caller, Tim. Shout out. Well done, sir.
Smashed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anytime you upset the balance, like you try and change a system, you're going to get pushback all the time, especially from the people who benefited most from that system. So a guy like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, yeah, they're going to have some issues with the particular Saban because he's been doing it for so long. But I don't even think that, hey, I hope it's Saban's downfall, but I'm not betting on it, you know?
No, I'm not either. But, I mean, it's like you said, the people that benefited the most from the old system are going to be the ones that are whining the loudest. And, you know, Kirby's done a better job of not doing that than Saban has. Of not kind of borderline acting petulant, you know, about it. The way Saban has that whole deal with Jimbo. And you know Saban knew he'd get that reaction out of Jimbo. He knows the guy. He worked with him. He played him like a Stradivarius.
Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio, Friday afternoon edition of the show, live today from National RX. Marcus Young has your top four at four. When we continue, stay with us.